Well, I want to share a message with you tonight on today on this Mother's Day. The Lord's comforts delight my soul. The Lord's comforts delight my soul. Lord, I just thank you today for your presence in this place. I do thank you, Lord, for the word that you're going to bring forth under the power of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord, to help us now. Help us, Lord. Help us to be an undistracted church. Help us, Lord, to be able to pierce through, Lord, anything that binds, anything that keeps us in a perpetual state of distraction. And, Lord, that where we miss the mark. Holy Spirit, you have come and are now in our midst, Lord, to do what only you can do. I pray you take this word, make it living. Lord, let it pierce through. Let it find a place in our heart, Lord, that you may be glorified, Lord. Lord Jesus, be glorified in our midst, Lord, and we will be a blessed and a happy people. And we thank you for that. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. I came across a scripture earlier this week. I'd just like to read it to you. But it's out of the Psalm 94, and it was written in the New American Standard Version. We usually read and teach from King James, but this was the New American Standard. And Psalm 94:19, it says this: when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comforts and your consolations delight my soul. And I was saying, Lord, that's an incredible word. That no matter how high the tide is rising, what I'm facing and the multitude of fears and anxieties that ever increase and what the day has brought to my life, Lord, you don't just say you will quell them, you will put my anxiousness, you know, on a help to lessen them. But you say that you actually have comforts and consolations that delight my soul. And I began to think on that, and it was like, Lord, what does that word mean? I think there's like a glory in this word. I think there's something I need to know about this. I think that when I felt anxieties multiply within me, I have your antidote, you say, is that there's consolations you have, comforts you have, that are able at that moment to delight my soul. Such a strong word, and yet such a truth. And it was like, Lord, show me what this means. And when I was thinking on it and meditating on it, the word anxious jumped out. And in thinking of the word anxious, the scripture that talked about Mary and Martha, where the Lord said to Martha, 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 you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And when I began to think about that, I was like, this might be the path that you are going to shine what Psalm 94 means, about the comforts and consolations that delight my soul in the midst of anxious multiplying thoughts within me. And Luke 10 tells their story, and really, at the end of the day, I feel like what the Lord was asking me to consider is, I want you to think of this thought, one thing needful. Because in order to experience the delights of the soul, there is that phrase that is said in Luke 10 about one thing being needful that the Lord speaks to the church. And you're going to have a key to understanding Psalm 94. And so I turned there to Luke 10, asking the Lord to shine light and cause me to understand. And if you would just read with me Luke 10, starting at verses 38. Familiar to many, and it says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was encumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good part, and it shall not be taken away from her. And I read this scripture, a thought came, Of course, Mother's Day, we have to hear from Mary and Martha. It seems like you can't have something that is supposed to speak to women without Mary and Martha showing up. And, you know, I think this is one of the most misunderstood passages in the whole scripture. If you turn to commentaries, which I do from time to time, I always kind of close them, slam the lid, actually, truth be told. So I can't believe that that's all you have to say about that scripture. That brings absolutely no insight whatsoever. And may I say respectfully, but the common mantra and the way of explaining this scripture in Luke 10 is basically like something like this. It's true, Martha was anxious, but her excesses were of valuable qualities. And Mary's attributes, as laudable as they are, they have excesses too. And so Martha could go into works very easily, but Mary, you know, she could be dreamy and speculative and end up, you know, just ending being no earthly good, being so heavenly minded. And one commentary even said, a church full of Marys would be as evil as a church full of Marthas. I said, I don't think we're reading the same scripture. And I don't know. I'm looking here, and the moral is, of course, especially ladies, just learn to be a Martha Mary. There we go. Okay, let's move on to the scripture. Let's move on. We'll all be Martha Mary. You know, the way I read it, Martha was the one who received the rebuke. She's the one who reproached Jesus, and Jesus had something to say to her that was so profound. He said, Martha, in all that you're troubled about and all you're anxious about, do you know there is one thing needful? And I will gladly and honestly confess to you that that phrase haunted me for years. One thing needful. What, Lord, is that one thing needful? Now, from time to time, we think maybe we could explain it, but I have found the more words you use to explain something, the less you understand it. The more words you have to use. And I had a lot of word explanations for this one thing needful. You know, where you it's sort of and it's kind of and la da 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 da. And by the time people finish listening to you, nobody is really any more enlightened. And then it's now finally their turn to give their opinion. It hasn't struck home. It hasn't brought light. There's been no understanding of it. But today, this week, as I was thinking on this scripture, the one actually in Psalm 94, and I hope I'm not confusing you here, but where the Lord says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your comforts and consolations, they delight my soul. And the Lord said, to understand that, do you understand what one thing needful means? And so if I can just quickly take you on the journey of how this scripture unfolded, one thing needful. You see, one thing that, in looking at that, this scripture of Martha and Mary, I would like to start with the insight is that many times I think it's assumed that Mary is kind of a shirker of work. But if we look carefully at that scripture, she says in verse 40 that, don't you care that my sister has left me? She has left me and to serve alone. So I believe that they were working side by side. So we can set aside any aspersions on Mary's character as one who doesn't help. That she was helping but then left her. And that Martha was left alone. And this story is an allegory. It's a story about the bride of Christ and his church. And it's a type of two brides that are found in the same house. Two types of people that can actually largely fall out. I mean, all of believers end up following or being a Mary or a Martha in the church. And this story will stand the test of time and it will never stop speaking to us. Everyone, worldwide Church of God, the Church of Christ, it will never stop speaking. It has this eternal weight in it. Martha represents a bride, and in verse 38, to understand her, And of course, driving to the point of what does it mean, one thing needful. It says in verse 38 that there was a certain woman named Martha. Now, this, of course, story was written in the Greek language. And to understand what's being said, if you go back to the original languages, and I know many of you have a Bible that will allow you to go to the back of your Bible and read what words mean in the original language. And that's what I did. And when it says, named Martha and received him into her house, that name Martha actually means mistress. And it means mistress in the sense of the counterpart in the male would be master. She was mistress or master of their house. And mistress of the household, the decision maker, master of the household. That's what that word actually Martha means literally. And I believe that she is now a type of a believer or a type of a ministry, a type of people who in their life or their ministry are the master or the mistress of it. And that word named means to attribute a name. It means that word named, a character described by the name. So when it says named Martha, the character that's being ascribed to her, and her name means mistress, that means she is the decision maker, she is the leader of that house. And that in the word, Greek word named, it implies fame, reputation, authority, or dignity. And so this woman, you definitely know when you visit her, you are going into her house. You are definitely knows that she is the mistress, the leader, the master of that house. And she has a fame and a reputation, an authority attached to her name, to her, how she is known. And in her house, her reputation, of course, her serving is known. And I want to say to you that I believe that when Jesus comes to her house, he is not welcomed as master. There already is one there, but he is welcomed as a guest. And he is a guest of this ministry. He is a guest of this life. He is a guest of this home. You know, it's interesting when a guest comes to your house, there are certain places that a guest doesn't go. They don't go, it'd be very bad form for them to go into the back of your closets or through your drawers. If there's a guest in your home, there are things they don't do. They don't cancel your cable, unplug your computer. There are things they don't say. A guest is appreciative of all that the mistress or the host does. And we are getting, beloved, a type, we're getting a picture here of the dynamic that was going on when Martha is the mistress in this situation, is the master. And where Christ truly, he could be loved and he could be esteemed to a point. But he would never have this, some things by that master of the house or mistress of the house would not be entertained or welcomed as a suggestion by the guest Jesus. Could not be heard. Could not be entertained. And you know, the Bible says that Martha, this word serving, it actually is the word that we get servant and serving for the good of others, but also where we get that word minister, where we get the word in that sense of people called into ministry. And we're getting a sense here that the Lord is saying that there'll be many in my house and it will be my house, but they will treat it like their house. And this relationship to me, as much as they love me, they cannot see because they cannot hear what I am saying. And Martha loves the Lord and she feels she is serving him and she's doing all that she is supposed to do and she knows best how to do what she feels she's doing, but she is not hearing what Christ has to say to her. She is not hearing. And of course, that is the absolute groundwork for when my thoughts within me multiply, when my anxious thoughts within me begin to multiply. Here is the ground of all that multiplying of the anxiousness. And Jesus, one more time, speaks to this woman he loves. One more time, he will speak to a ministry. He will speak to a church. He will speak to those he loves. And there's a plea to hear. And he says it as clearly as can be said it. The problem is, Martha, the problem is, dear one, that you come into my presence and underneath is an accusation. Underneath is that I am here left to serve alone. That what I am doing is the real work and I am left alone at it. And the Lord says to her, Martha, Martha, it says in verse 41, you are careful and troubled about many things. You, the scripture says even that she was encumbered, verse 40, with much serving, encumbered by doing the right thing even. And this word cumbered means dragging things around and being distracted. You are in the way that you are serving me. You are dragging things around and you are distracted. And your anxiety is mounting. They are multiplying within you. You are quickly being overcome by the situation. Because at the base of things, you don't understand. But you are the mistress of this house, of this life, of this ministry. I am the guest in my church. And the way that you run it is that you can't hear from me, convinced you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing. And as a result, all that you do and all the work that you have devised and fashioned and put your hand to, you are dragging it all around and you are encumbered, you are distracted by it, and you can't hear me. And the evidence of not hearing is everything is hard. The anxiety is your bread. You eat it daily. You are distracted. You're confused about many issues. There is no clarity. And thus the mounting frustration. And at the end, God, why? And so, sort of these accusations. But how does God get our attention? How does he pierce through a distracted church? How does he pierce through to people who don't understand? They truly, there's places of unsurrender. They are the master or mistress of certain things. God could not speak to them about certain issues because guests don't say that. Guests don't do that. And he says to her, and she's feeling so alone at times. And she's feeling like she alone is called, there's so few who do what she does, just like Elijah did. And Jesus breaks through and he has something to say to her. And he says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious. You are troubled about many things. But can I tell you? One thing is needful. And I want to say, why Martha, why didn't she say, why did not the story finish this way? Why didn't she say, what, Lord? What? One thing is needful? What is that thing? Tell me. I'm listening. You've got my ear on this one. I am troubled and I am anxious about many things. And I've just come in to your presence seriously with a problem about how things are happening here. And I want you to tell your sister to leave your side and to come help me. And what? What are you saying? One thing is needful? You know, why didn't she say, why doesn't that why doesn't this story end this way? And would you not think of anyone on the face of the earth, Mary at that moment, want to know what Jesus meant in the midst of all her many, many things to do, many things to be anxious about, many things to be troubled about, many things that are bringing to a boiling point that she's not even, she doesn't even fear any audacity to begin to actually accuse God or put something before him, you know, that's like an accusation to his face. How could it be that there's just one thing? In verse 39, it says, "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." And similarly, if we look up that word Mary, and we look up that word called, we see that the name Mary is a very common name in the Bible. Very common. And it actually was, it seemed like every notable woman of the New Testament had that name. I'm wondering if that's because by heaven's standard, every notable believer has something in common with her. But it says that when she's called something, do you know what that word called means in Greek? Called Mary, that word means to invite. It means a divine invitation to participate. It means a vocation and a destination. And here we have a believer such as Martha, who is truly mistress of the house with a name, fame, reputation, and dignity. And then we have another believer in the house, Jesus' house. Common in the sense of nothing that stands out at first. And yet she is called. And she knows she has been invited to something. And there's been a divine invitation go forward, and she could hear it. There's been a divine invitation issued to her to participate, and she could hear it. And it's like it's becoming her vocation and her destination. And given the revelation, what does one thing needful mean? What was it that Mary heard? What was it that Mary actually, at the end of the day, all her ministry, all her life, all her relationship with Jesus, could it really truly be boiled down to one thing? And every day she reminded herself of this truth. Was she given something because she could not just listen to what Jesus said, but she could hear him even with an intent to obey what she heard? What was it? Could Mary actually boil everything down to her Christian life, to one phrase that she understood that every day could guide her, could become her vocation, could become her destination? Could it get that simple for a believer? And what was it anyway? And I believe it was this. That Mary heard Jesus say to her, "I have made a place for you beside me." Hallelujah. I have made a place for you beside me. And sitting at his feet, it's such a picture of the humility of when that truth hits a Christian's heart, that I have made a place for you beside me. And her response was to be found at some point every day at his feet, humble and grateful. It was not a light thing for her to hear a divine invitation. It was not a light thing. And in recognizing the honor in it, that she was chosen and called to be there, and assuming that position of being at his feet, she actually assumed the same position and the same honor that he extended to the 12 disciples. That when a person sat at someone's feet, in this language and culture, it meant that you were invited to be a disciple, that you were invited to learn from them in a firsthand and very intimate way. It was an honor. And it was extended to a chosen group. And she heard this invitation and chose to say yes to it. And beloved, we don't need to make this story any more complicated or any less profound than it is. That, Lord, you have made a place for me beside you. And not a day needs to go by as Christians, as a church, that we cannot just lift up our voice to him. Not a day goes by that it is not our privilege to be able to lift our voice up to him, to be able to praise his name, to be able to pray to him, to be able to honor him, to be able to serve him, to be able to love him, to be able to ask of him in recognition of his choosing us, of him making a place for us beside him and us taking it at his feet, being in a humble and grateful mode and yet understanding the great privilege of being put there, of being asked there, of being made a place there. When Martha burst through and said, Lord, send her back to the kitchen. You know, there may have been disciples there who said, yes, this person is making us uncomfortable there. She shouldn't be there. Send her back. The Lord never agreed with that. Beloved, I don't care where we come in terms of our education or understanding, our race or our gender. Christ, this story is speaking. If I have made a place for you beside me, and you can hear that, respond to that. Inviting us to a place there. Beloved, we are going, if every day we say, Lord, you've made a place for me beside you, and it is my privilege to be in that place every day. That it is a privilege not extended to everyone. And in that place, Lord, teach me an awe and a reverence for you. Teach me, Lord, that miracles can happen to me today because I am in this place. Teach me that knowing your heart and hearing from you will put courage, strength, a backbone, be able to face a world that is crumbling under the weight of sin and the weight of darkness. And you, by my being at your feet, you will cause me to stand today with a love and a purpose, a dignity and a strength. All that Martha was trying to get through her own name, through her own serving, by her rules, her ways, and never properly esteeming who it was in her house. Because she hadn't given over the house, hadn't fully given over her heart, had not truly esteemed what Christ was trying to say to her. Martha, Martha, you are so troubled. You are so anxious because you are trying to still be captain of this ship. You are still trying to be mistress and master of this home that I gave you and this life that I gave you. But if you would go down at my feet and really hear what it is I am saying, you would know the multitude of comforts and consolations and delight that I would bring into your soul. When the multitude of your anxieties multiply within you, know that at my feet, my consolations and my word and my comforts will delight your soul and become a different spirit. But so much of the church is Martha, isn't it? What are we afraid of? I think we're so afraid of things because we're not listening to him. We are not listening. We say we listen, but we are not listening, as evidenced by the anxieties that don't go away when it's our daily bread, when there's no peace, when there's no end to things. Yes, challenges will come, and yes, the more that we hasten towards the coming of the Lord, the darkness and gross darkness will cover this earth, and it will try to cover the Christian. But the Lord is saying that I have a remedy, I have a comfort for you, I have consolations for you that will delight your soul, that the earth knows nothing about. And this shall become your testimony, that you have not lightly esteemed that I have called you and chosen you to be at my feet. I have made a place for you beside me. Hallelujah. So many times we are like Martha. You know, when Mary and Martha's brother died, and Jesus didn't come till he was buried 4 days. Both of these women had their theology and everybody around them why Jesus didn't come. And Martha goes out to meet the Lord and she says, Lord, you know, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But I know even now, I know even now, what you ask of God, he will give it to you. And that's a wonderful testimony. But Jesus, in speaking to this woman, he looks at her and he says, do you think your brother will rise again? Oh, yes, Lord, at the last day. Not now, of course, but at the last day, he will rise again. And Jesus said to her, looked right her in the eye. And he said to Martha, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he said, he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he who believes in me, lives and believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? Do you? You know, and Martha thinking, she didn't understand what that meant. Because she knew there, she lived, you know, there's a graveyard. We're in a graveyard. People have died. What do you mean people who live and believe in you shall never die? What do you mean that though a man be dead, yet he shall live? What does that mean? And yet, so he says to her, do you believe this? And you know what she says? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God sent from the earth. You know what she did? She just rambled off. She just took the scriptures and she just threw them almost back at him. She didn't answer his question. And beloved, that's so much what we do, that I believe what the Lord wants to break in us today is that we can read the Bible, we can get a scripture, and we just take it in, but then we quickly give it out again. And the power and the deliverance in that word and the glory in that word, we don't know what that is because we've not kept it. We've not said, Lord, this is your word, and it will never die, and it's indestructible, and it's greater than a lie, and it's deeper than the darkness. No, what do? We take scripture, and we just give it right back out. We can't hear what the Lord is saying. We don't understand it. And afraid we will lose perhaps the little faith we have, what do? We just quote scripture. And I believe what the Lord is saying, that he wants to get us to a place that we come and we say, Lord, I want today to be found at your feet. I want to be found praising you. I want you to speak something to me. And Lord, as you take it in, I'm not going to be quick to give it out, but I want this word to find a place in me. I want to begin to eat it. I want to begin to meditate on it. I want it to begin to do its miraculous work in me. I don't want to just be a rapid fire scripture machine that turns people off because I'm just giving away. I think I'm listening to you, but I'm not hearing you. I'm not honoring. I'm lightly esteeming this book. I'm lightly esteeming you in my life, and I'm not going to be able to stand if I don't learn to do this. Because there's revelation in the Word of God. There is revelation. It's not just something to quote. It's something to own. It's something to experience. It's something to know the power of it and the deliverance of it. And many times, beloved, we can hear a word at church or someone under the Spirit will speak to us, and we know that's God speaking. Instead of just quickly wanting to quote it, can we own it? Can we let it go deep? Can we meditate on it? Can we let the power of it and the glory of it do its work in us? Can we begin to hear him? Can we begin to listen? Can we move from being Martha, anxious and troubled about many things, yet feeling, you know, we're serving you, Lord, and yet seeming not to go forward in terms of our faith, seeming to be sliding backwards, moving sideways, something, but there is a day of trouble and we seem to have no peace in the storm, no comfort, no consolations, no delight in our soul. As in awe and reverence, we bow our head at his feet. We have been chosen. He wants to teach us and train us and rise in the glory and the strength of that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Martha will live her life. And all those Marthas in the church, they will live and serve the Lord. And everything they've done, all that work will perish with them. But with Mary, She's able to, you know, this woman didn't do it all right. She made her mistakes. She didn't understand what the Lord was doing at the tomb of Lazarus for that moment. But she kept going down when she didn't understand what was happening. The scripture says when Jesus stood in front of the tomb at her of Lazarus, her brother, the Bible says she wept. She didn't understand why Jesus delayed 4 days. But it said, but she went back down to his feet weeping. She kept returning to the place that she only ever found consolation or comfort. And she went back down there again. And the scripture says that when Lazarus was raised from the dead, that the scripture says that there was a banquet and that she took this perfume, costly, and she broke it and she anointed the feet of Jesus. And people were, what is this woman doing? Why is she breaking this costly perfume? Because she could hear what Jesus was saying. And Jesus had begun to say this last week of his life that I must needs go to Jerusalem and I will be given up to the scribes and the Pharisees and I will be crucified and I will rise again at the third day. And nobody could hear him but her. And on hearing him, what did she do? He's going to die for me. And crucifixion is a criminal's death. There will be no anointing. There will be no dignity given to that body. And moved by the Spirit of God, she took what was so costly and she anointed him before his death as saying, I'm hearing you, Lord. I'm not going to contradict you. I'm not going to question you. I'm not going to say, how can that be? As Peter did, who was so quick with a thought when given, no, you alone are the Christ, but never let it just go into his heart so that it closed his mouth, that he could think on these things, that he could esteem the Lord and say, this is true. Let all my doubts and all my not understanding bow before, Lord, that's your word. And let it find a place till it brought him to a revelation. Because, beloved, when we get to a place where something's been revealed to us, we own that truth. That can't be taken from us then. And that's what happened with Mary. Is he says to Martha quite clearly, he says, you know something? It's going to be hard because you don't esteem Mary very much. But what she has chosen will not be taken from her. She has chosen the good part and it won't be taken from her. She is actually working in eternity for eternity. Jesus said the memorial when Mary anointed him before his death, he said, wherever this gospel is preached, there's going to be a memorial for her of what she did. There is a lasting weight of eternity when we can hear Jesus, when we can truly listen. I'll tell you, the way of eternity can come into our lives as never before. We don't have to be seen. We don't have to be the master, the mistress of the house. It's not about our dignity and our reputation. The Lord knows how. The Lord knows how to put something of lasting value in us and through us. But will we esteem what he has done for us and listen to him? I have made a place for you beside me. And Mary responded to that. And there was a time to do this and a time to do that. But there was a time that I must honor my God. I must be found at his feet every day, every day. This is my privilege. You know, and beloved, just let me close with something here. You know, we can hear this word and get all under the weight of something that is of the enemy. And that is that we become, in our desire to seek the Lord and be at his feet, we get into a Martha mentality in doing that. We become all duty bound and works bound about prayer, about spending time with the Lord. And we make it so that the enemy, he comes into this and he makes it all work and duty. And that's not what it's supposed to be. May I suggest to you, it just becomes something very simple. It becomes something so sweet. It becomes something that is not a program. But every day it's our privilege to open our eyes and our heart and say, Lord Jesus, good morning. Thank you for giving me life today. It becomes something as sweet as saying, Lord, I see your face first before anyone else's. And it's just 2 minutes in prayer. It's, Lord, if I will open this word, you will say something to me, and it will be meat to me and bread to me all this day. It will feed and nurture me throughout this day. It will guide me, and it will show me, it'll be my wisdom how to deal with people. You will reign in my heart, and you will cause me to rule and reign with you. It's that simple. Don't get into a program. Don't become Martha now, even in this. The Lord has made a place for you beside him. Honor that. Recognize it. Acknowledge it. Esteem it. And however that works, do it. Do it. I want to close with this story. I've shared it with a couple of times this last couple of weeks, but it bears repeating. During the time of genocide in Rwanda, there was a woman named Rosario. She was found when the genocide started early April 1994. She was not in her village, but she was in another place. And the Hutus, of course, rose up and were killing their neighbors, the Tutsis. And she was trying to get back home, but all the roads were blocked. And there were checkpoints there. And if you were found to be of the wrong people group, you were slaughtered by your neighbors. And trying to make her way back home, a group of them, they were found, and their enemies hacked and killed them all but her. She was macheted almost to death. And she woke up in a pile of dead bodies with maggots eating at her open wounds across her back. Her hand was completely mangled, and she staggered in complete pain and staggered into the bushes till nightfall. She went to an abandoned house where a wife of her enemies would bring her water for a few days and then shoo her away. And she lived like this in a state of half death and half life. Except every time she came through, she came to her senses, lying in fields, half more dead than alive. She would begin to pray. And every day, every time she woke up, she would pray. After 50 days, the liberating army came through to where she was. She was one of the few in the whole area to survive, and they were astonished she was alive in the condition that they found her. But she was more than alive. She was also pregnant. She had a baby girl and named her Cadeau, French for gift. And every day she would wake that little girl in the same way that she used to wake every day, several times from unconsciousness to consciousness in the escape for her life. She would wake up praying, and in the mornings when she would see that little baby girl, she had trained her now. And she would wake her up with a well-rehearsed ritual. And she would look at her little daughter and she would say, time to, and the little girl would rub her eyes and say, wake up and pray. And Cadeau would finish her mother's sentence every day that way. And the mother Rosario would say to her, and why do we wake up and pray? And the little girl would answer and say, because we are not like the cows, which just wake up and go. Because we are not like the cows that just wake up and go. You see, that's our privilege every day to wake up. It's time to wake up and pray. The church to move from Martha to Mary to wake up and pray. And it's as simple as that, because we are not like the cows. We are not destined for the slaughter. That's what cows are, destined for the slaughter. A cow, an animal, you put a bit and a bridle in it to lead it this way and that. That's what's happening to the world out there. They've got the enemy's bit and bridle in their mouth. They're being pulled in any direction except to life, except to sanity, except to wholeness. Pulled in every direction. But for the church, it's our privilege to wake up and pray. Because we are not like the cows who wake up and go. And it is as simple as that. A right esteeming. When the Lord speaks to us and said, I have made a place for you beside me, then it's time to wake up and pray. One thing needful. That's the one thing needful. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. I just thank you. Lord, you'll give us power now. I pray, Lord, you give us power and break us free. Lord, from the understanding of what it is you are asking us to do. Lord, break off the Martha mentality. Lord, break the pride. Break the under-surrendered areas. Break the places, Lord, where we feel we have to know what you are doing. No, you are the Lord. You are God. Let us bow our knee. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of being called to sit at your feet. That the church always has been called to that place, a place of privilege, a place of dignity, a place of awe, a place of humility. Lord, we are not like the cows to wake up and go. We have something to do. We can wake up and pray. No matter how simple, how short, Lord, from our hearts, let us be found a people, Lord, that will not let the distractions take us from the one thing needful. Lord, break the power of the distractions over us. Break the power of it. Lord, you're not the guest in our lives. You are the master of our lives. Go where you need to go and speak what you need to speak. But Lord, would you please give us a listening ear? For that will be the consolation and comforts that delight our soul, no matter how many the anxieties. And Lord, I pray you give your church, Times Square Church, the ears to hear. Give us this grace, the ears to hear, with the intent to obey you, to rise, Lord, to wake up and pray a simple, honest prayers, Lord, at your feet. And we do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We have a tradition here, and it's just a tradition. It's just that. Where people, where the Holy Spirit is speaking very deeply, there is a need for a response. So this altar is a place of response. If you feel you need to respond, because you've heard, these altars are open. Come, come, come. If you're feeling the need to respond, let the Lord seal something, for he will be faithful to wake us up and to remind us to pray, and it will be our joy. But if you need to come in response, you come as the musicians play. I know that you've come to this altar in response to many things, but can I just encourage you, don't come to this altar to make a promise to God. That I promise I'm going to pray now. No, just say, Lord, I'm going to wake up and pray. It'll just, my first thoughts, it'll just be, Lord Jesus, I honor you today. Thank you, you're my God. I love you. And just get out of bed, and before you see the face of man, see the face of God. Just for a few moments, that's all. Sanctify him, set him apart. Say, Lord, I just worship you today because you are worthy. And you alone are worthy. And beloved, that'll change the whole tenor of your day. It's not that you and I put a time card in. You know, did I get my devotions in? No. It's our privilege to wake up and pray, not wake up and go. It's our privilege. We don't have to wake up and go like the heathen do. We don't have to wake up and go. We can wake up and pray and be heard. We can wake up and acknowledge God rules our lives, that he is in control, that he's changing my character and he's changing the circumstance. And when my anxieties multiply, there will be a consolation that will delight my soul in honoring him as my God. And he will be strong on our behalf. Beloved, it's our privilege to wake up and pray, not wake up and go. And that's going to change so much. That That's going to be our response, that God, creator of heaven and earth, has chosen us. Hallelujah. And we're going to make this thing by the Holy Spirit something that always meant to be a delight to his soul and to our soul. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. The enemy fears that. That's why, you know, he's want to always lace Martha of works and duty in our prayer life and just our communion with him. We can pray all day long. He'll go shopping with you. He'll do everything you need to do. He'll come. He'll be in your integrity, your peace of mind. We're going to wake up and pray and sanctify the Lord because he's made a place for us beside him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, this has been a good day. This has been a good day. I thank you, Lord. You keep it so simple. Oh, Lord Jesus, this relationship, you love us and you keep it so simple. Now, Lord, by the Holy Spirit, implant things in our heart, Lord. And let us not be quick to speak or quick to brag what we do. But Lord, let us just hide your word in our heart. Let us mull on it, pray on it, think on it, speak to us. Give us a listening ear. Let things that we knew in our head become revelation in our spirit. Let the joy and the delight of your consolations and your comforts burst in on us, Lord. Things we couldn't even put words to, what you are doing in our spirits. Lord, I thank you today, Lord. You are breaking off the power and spirit of Martha, and you are teaching us to be a Mary church who rightly esteems you, rightly hears the call in our lives, Lord. I thank you we don't have to choose our own destinies, Lord, but you have something for us, to the privilege of serving you, Lord, today and every day, and the power that will come as we, Lord, are at your feet. And so, Lord, thank you for making it simple. Now, Lord, thank you. Strongly assure, Lord, those that are within the hearing sound of this voice, Lord, that truly we will wake up. It's time to pray. We will wake up and pray in a simple and profound way that will influence the rest of our lives. And Lord, for those that have come with many anxiousness, anxieties, Lord, I pray, Lord, as they pray, the consolation and the comforts that only you can speak. No man can speak, but you can speak comfort, consolation, and glory into a troubled soul. And Lord, we will be glad and we will be yours. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Bless us this way. In your name, I pray. Amen.